Amen. Amen. Well, it's 12:20. Okay, if I preach for a little while. Praise God. Psalm 36, I was going to anyway, but I like to have you on board too. Psalm 36, 7, 8, and 9 contains a list of tremendous positives that the Lord blesses His people and by His power. Praise God. Thank God for those blessings. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness. Notice it not only names what it is, but it describes how powerful it is. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Exclamation point. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Praise God. What a tremendous composite of positives that the Lord puts in His Word and the blessings that He makes known. Amen. And there's an absence of the negatives. And that's what I want to share with you for a short while today, the absence of opposites. Praise God. The absence of opposites. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we could have started at verse 5 because a list begins there, actually, of how wonderful the attributes of God are. Verse 5, he talks about mercy, and then faithfulness, and then righteousness, and judgments, and loving kindness. God has this handful of qualities and so much more. And over we read in those scriptures of how great and how positive and how wonderful the blessings of the Lord are. His mercy endures forever. And that message is contained and repeated and repeated and repeated in Psalm 136. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And in Lamentations, that proclamation is made, and Jeremiah goes on to exclaim, great is thy faithfulness. Thank God for the greatness of our God. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Amen. Isn't that incredible? You're one of a thousand. You're one of just a continuing, ongoing display of what God would do with His faithfulness. Amen. His righteousness. There's none like Him. There's no rock like our rock. Amen. And thank God, His righteousness is what changes us. Not condemns us, not judges us, although it can do those things, certainly. But His righteousness changes us for the better, for the positive, for the blessing that He desires to put in place. His judgments are just. Amen. It's not going to be politically influenced. It's not going to be bribed or bought. His judgments are just. And the psalmist declared, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me or impart life to me according to thy judgments. Praise God. The Lord sees and He weighs and He acts according to His judgments. His loving kindness is so great. The benefits of the Lord that are enumerated in Psalm 103. Forget not all of His benefits and bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Because of those benefits. It includes the point that he crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's his crown. That's what he desires to place upon you. And the psalmist again declares, thy loving kindness is better than life. Praise God, because it makes life all the better. It makes life all the more positive. Tremendous in what the Lord would give us. Praise God. And then the positives emphasized in this passage that we read here today, in the absence of the negatives that the world would try to place upon you, the abundance of God's blessings and the satisfaction and the rivers of pleasure, the fountain of life, the light that he gives. Praise God. I'm thankful that our confidence can be in the abundance that he places in the blessings upon us today. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Praise God. I'm thankful we can live that day by day. And the power of God can come into our lives. Paul declared, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Thank God, over and over, we receive the blessings that he has for us. Again and again, we receive what he desires to place in our lives. He is able. Thank God for divine ability that goes way beyond human ingenuity and intellect and ability. Divine ability declares he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. Thank God for the abundance. Be satisfied because of what he provides. Psalm 107 and verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Thank God we can be longing for him. Thank God we can be hungry for him. And he's not going to dangle the proverbial carrot in front of you and where you have to keep journeying and never arrive at it. But thank God there is satisfaction. There is filling as God would desire to bring forth his blessing. And as for me, the psalmist would write, in Psalm 17 and 15, as for me, it almost rings true like Caleb would say or Joshua would say, as for me and my house, praise God. As for me, he said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, thank God, he's going to transform our bodies to be like unto his glorious body, and we will be in his presence forever. Hallelujah, with the satisfaction that he desires to give. But even now, there are rivers of God's pleasure. In his presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank God. The Lord says, your peace can be like a river that continues to flow, a river that has countless gallons that are going through it continuously. Peace as a river when you listen to his commandments. And oh, thank God for rivers of living water that he promised. And John gives the explanation. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. But there came that day, there came that hour, there came that time, hallelujah, that his power came and the rivers of life began to flow, because he is the fountain of life. He is the one who proclaims that life to you and I. Don't forsake that fountain of living water, but drink from the well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. And we see light. The one who said, let there be light. And everything in creation springs from that four-word command. Let there be light. Praise God. He's the one who came as light for life in all of men. And he shined in our hearts, the Bible said. And we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank God he brought to pass the fulfillment of his plan. He made sure it was all in place. And he brought his power to be. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. Tremendous positives. Amen. The absence of the negatives of Satan's work. Now, we don't ignore those. We know how real they are. We know how powerful they are. We know we cannot defeat them by ourselves. And that's why we're reminded the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not what we can gather. It's not what we can come up with. But it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's his spirit. It's his name. It's his blood. It's his word. Amen. But the enemy will come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the thief's work. There's dissatisfaction instead of being satisfied. There's leanness instead of abundance. There's thirst instead of rivers. There's displeasure instead of pleasures of life. There's a fountain of death instead of a fountain of life. And there's darkness instead of seeing light. Now, in the scriptures, we know of individuals who lived those experiences. We know of those who were lost in that darkness and had no satisfaction. The man of Gadara, for example, if I can turn your attention to him. A literary great named Henry David Thoreau made the statement that the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. It wasn't quiet desperation for this man from Gadara. Nothing quiet about how he lived. The legion of demons that was in him made him proclaim loudly and scream loudly and act in a manner that all would see and none could ignore. He was frightened and he fought. He broke fetters and chains and he tore his clothes off. He spent days and nights screaming and crying, and his time among the tombs was a tortured existence. That was his life. Mary Magdalene, or Mary of Magdala. Magdala was a place of serene tranquility, a quiet little village on the Sea of Galilee. And all of the comings and goings upon that sea, the beautiful sunsets, the nice breezes, and all of the peace that perhaps could be imagined in that place did not exist in her life. She had seven demons. There wasn't peace. There wasn't comfort. There wasn't security. No matter how much she may have sought those things, they escaped her grasp. And her life was tormented and fearful. Matthew sat at the table by himself collecting taxes. The long line that assembled and came past him was gathered by the authority of Rome. Money that he could accumulate came by bribe and by overtaxing. He had recognition. They knew who he was, but he had no respect. They muttered under their breath. They outright called him names. A publican, one who was a tax collector and operating under the authority of the hated empire of Rome. He could count his money, but he couldn't count friends because he had none, except those perhaps among the ranks of the publicans. But oh, thank God. Day after day, though that existence may have been a tormented one for the man from Gadara. It may have been a lack of peace for Mary. It may have been just the sound of coins and not the sound of joy that Matthew could count. But oh, I'm glad there was a change. I'm glad there was an encounter with the Christ of compassion. I'm thankful that Jesus changed the circumstances for the man of Gadara. He saw Jesus and ran to him, and he worshiped Jesus. Even in his fallen condition, even as a captive of demonic spirits, he felt the need to worship. He had the desire to exclaim and exalt the greatness of God. The demons cried out, not just once, but three times. The demons prayed, if you will. They said, I beseech thee, torment me not. And then the Bible says they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep or into the abyss. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them or into the swine. And that's exactly what happened. It's amazing that we have the privilege of prayer, and we can call upon the name above every name, and we can believe God for the promises that he desires to fulfill. But even the devils believe in Jesus, and they tremble. And oh, thank God for the changes that the Lord brought. The swine ran into the lake and were drowned. The keepers told those in the city of what had happened. They came to investigate the loss. But that's all they could see was the loss. There are things that you give up. There are things that you've got to be willing to lose in order to gain the presence of the Lord. But just think, when they came from the city and they beheld the man that they knew to live in the tombs and cry and scream and live in a tortured and tormented way, breaking the fetters, breaking the chains, tearing his clothes, they now see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The opposite of what they knew to be his experience. But the price was too high. I can't imagine that. I would have thought the family would have gladly welcomed him, warmly received him, excited about what they would do, inviting everybody to a celebration dinner that now their father, their husband, their brother, their uncle, whatever the relation would be, their friend is delivered. But the requests continued. The multitude besought him to depart. That still astounds me. The price of losing their pigs was too high. To get the man healed and delivered. Oh, let that army rise up today. Let that army rise up and say there's no price too high. The price has already been paid. We can take the message forth and see deliverance. We can see people delivered from depression and oppression and possession. Praise God. And hear the enemy cry out for mercy and a place to be instead of in the abyss. But thank God that's where they're going to end up. And you and I are going to be in the place of victory. You and I are going to be in the place of overcoming. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord. The man who was delivered had a request. He besought him, besought the Lord, that he might be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him to his house to show how great things God had done. Oh, what a great thing. Amen. Making his life totally opposite of what it had been. And he published, or he told throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Mary Magdalene, I'm trying to hurry. Seven demons cast out. Seven demons that brought torment. Seven demons that brought deception. Seven demons that brought dissatisfaction. The Lord cast them out and healed her of evil spirits and deliverance or infirmities, delivering her from all that held her down. And after her deliverance, she showed commitment. She followed Jesus. She was among the women who ministered unto the Lord of their substance. She was among those who were last at the cross and first at the tomb. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Matthew followed the rules of the Romans. Matthew followed the practice of the publicans. But when Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to him, "Follow me." No longer following the rules of Romans or the practice of the publicans. Follow me. And the Bible says he arose and followed him. Hallelujah. Did he leave the table just as it was? Were all those receipts of custom left there under the paperweight? Was his money bag half full or completely full? I don't know. And I suppose Matthew didn't care. He said, "Follow me." And he rose up and followed him. Hallelujah. And Matthew would see the blind healed. He would see the woman with the issue of blood healed. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He was willing to follow the Lord and leave things behind and be able to see greater blessing. Matthew was among the 12 who were sent forth. Matthew was among those who were sent forth to heal and had power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Hallelujah. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew was used to collecting money. Matthew was used to overcharging. He was used to bribes. He was used to having money line his pockets. But he knew the power of God that had been given to him freely, and therefore he would freely give. And oh, the excitement of what God had done in their lives. You believe God's got power to change people? You believe God's got power to change circumstances? Amen. Thank God. That's what the Bible declares. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Not just put them aside. Not just give you a reprieve. Not just give you a little vacation. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Thank God that his work is total and complete. Now, Paul uses odd terminology, at least it's odd to me. In Romans 2 and 4, "Despisest thou the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering of the Lord?" Pretty strong language. In other words, he's saying, don't presume on those qualities of God. Don't take them lightly, because it's God's goodness that leads you to repentance. And oh, repentance opens the door. Praise God. And there is going to be a time that God's graces, God's goodness are going to be absent from this world. The rapture of the church, the dead in Christ rising first, we which are alive and remain caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. God's Spirit lifted. Absent. Restraint removed after the rapture of the church. You see, the Spirit of God is holding Satan back at this time. Remember, it was 10 righteous that could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. It's your presence in this world as the righteousness of God that is making a difference in the judgment of God coming upon this world. But the moment the church is taken out of here, the moment the church is removed, that can open the door for God's judgment to come upon this world. And oh, I can imagine services with as much fervor and urgency and desperation as we had here in this service. But all to no avail. Because it's absent. It's gone. The opportunity is over. You see, it's nothing to play with. It's nothing for us to take lightly. You know now what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. 2 Thessalonians would write, and chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, hard to understand perhaps in the language that it is written, but let me explain it to you. What is withholding the working of iniquity now is the power of the Spirit of God. That's the force that has dammed up the judgment and the horror and the terrible things that the devil will unleash upon the earth, as the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There's one who is letting it, and he'll be taken out of the way. And then those dams will burst, and wickedness will flow like has never happened upon the earth. The absence of the opposites. I don't want to be here. I don't want you to be here. It doesn't have to happen that way. We can make sure that God's power, God's blessing, God's strength is in our lives. And we're in the eternal presence of God, where there is an absence of the negatives that the devil tries to bring upon us. No night, no sun, no temple, no sorrow, no death, no crying, no pain. Hallelujah. In his presence forever. Glory to God. The absence of Satan, who is in the lake of fire. The demons cried to go into the pigs and then into the lake. Thank God they're going to be in the lake of fire. No escape. Only damnation. But oh, all the positives in heaven. The tree of life. The river of life. The loved ones who have gone on before. The champions of faith that we read about in the scripture. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, look upon his face. Exalting him. Praising him. Lifting him up. Stand with me now, please. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know the truth of his word, the power of his blessing, the infilling of his Spirit, the demonstration of his grace, full today of all of the positives that he desired. Make sure you're not taking it for granted. Make sure you're not feeling like, well, any service I can make contact with that. Anytime I can step back into God's grace, I'll go and fool around with things I know are wrong. I'll mess around with things I know can be dangerous. But I'll come back. I'll be in that place again. Oh, no. That's exactly the way the devil would deceive. The way that he would trap. The way that he would pull down and destroy. And no, instead I'm going to enjoy those positives. I'm going to look ahead to the total positives of the blessings that God wants to bring into my life and rejoice in him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The tree of life. The river of life. The description, Revelation 21, 22, might flash through our minds. The artistic renditions of what that might look like are intriguing. But I want to imagine it myself. I want to see that tree of life with 12 manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. I want to see that river of life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I've been drinking of it. It's been flowing through me. But oh, to be free of all temptation, free of all restraint of this flesh, not hearing anymore the call of this world and sinful society, but just be in his presence. The champions of faith that we read about again and again, and take courage from their courage get excited about their victory and claim it for ourselves. We're going to see them. The loved ones who are rejoicing around the throne. As you were marching today, I thought about those who are marching around his throne, exalting him, praising him, worshiping him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All of those positives and the absence of the negatives. Let's make sure it stays that way. Let's make sure that's the way we live our lives so that eternity is going to be full of all of those positives. Praise God. Let's come and commit ourselves to the Lord again. Let's determine we're not going to slip, we're not going to fall, we're not going to turn. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep following. We're going to keep living according to his principles and according to his word. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Oh.